Welcome to Jaguars Monday with Gene Smith. Join Jaguars General Manager Gene Smith and your host Cole Pepper as they break down the last Jaguars game and look at the next time the Jaguars take the field. We'll also take a dip inside the Gene Pool to see what makes a player stand out at his position. Jaguars Monday with Gene Smith is brought to you by Baptist Health, Ticket Exchange, Wells Fargo, Sonny's Barbecue, your local Jacksonville Teal Deals merchants, and by Everbank. Jaguars Monday with Gene Smith begins right now.
And we welcome you in here on a Monday night, live from Jaguars Central. Cole Pepper here along with the general manager, Gene Smith. Joe Fortunato at the controls. This is Jaguars Monday with Gene Smith following a very difficult loss, 32-3 in the Meadowlands to the Jets. Gene, this is your first look, though, at our newly revamped Jaguars Central with our new television. I'm calling this the array now because we have a full array. We can watch all kinds of games. What do you think? This is there's some guys who would pay good money to come in here on a Sunday and watch some games, don't you think?
Yeah, I like it.
We got three big new TVs in here. Joe Fortunato is in perfect position to watch and enjoy.
Just if you're coming, just bring wings.
That bring some wings, and we'll be maybe some barbecue. We'll be in good shape. All right. Imagine there may be a couple of things that are on people's minds today, and but let me set a couple of reminders or reset a couple of things on this. So folks know, everybody's talking about the quarterback today. The decision on who will be the starting quarterback is the head coach's decision. Right? That's not your decision. You have the role of setting the roster, and the coach takes that roster and goes out and coaches them up and plays with them. Right? So people can ask all they want, or email in, or Facebook, or Twitter in all they want about who's going to be the quarterback. And number one, that's not your call. That's Jack's call. And Jack made his comment today, and I'll give you a summation of that. And that is that he's not ready to make a determination. He's evaluating the tape right now. And right now, who is going to be the starting quarterback on Sunday has not been decided.
That's correct. And that's accurate in what you said. It is our coaching staff's decision on who starts, who plays, and in what role. So I support our coaching staff. I'm not going to disclose any of the conversations that I certainly have with Jack because we do talk personnel throughout the week. But I do make recommendations, and sometimes he applies them and sometimes he doesn't. But like I said, I trust their judgment. They're working with these guys in the meetings, out on the practice field, and sometimes you get into situations where things are very even in terms of play performance, whether it's through practice and certainly in games as well. And, you know, there'll be a decision made, and it'll, again, be in the best interest of the organization.
And I would even say that even if the decision was made as of today, there'd be no benefit to letting that out, right? I mean, you don't want to give the Panthers any more information than they can get off film, off the game tape. And there's no practice on the field tomorrow, so go through corrections today and watch the film and have the meetings and so forth, and then nothing tomorrow. Then Wednesday, I would be surprised if by the end of the day Wednesday we wouldn't have a pretty good idea who's going to be the starting quarterback, because that's when practice is, right? That's when they got to get out there and who's going to take the reps, and whoever is going to be the starter is going to have to be in starting to install that that game plan.
Yeah, the starter, you know, obviously gets the most reps in practice, and that's how you hopefully get good. Because the more work you have with the starting unit, the better rhythm and timing you're going to have with everything you do, not just in the passing game, but in the running game.
All right, we'll have plenty of time to talk about the quarterback. We do want to talk about some other aspects of yesterday's game. And even though our former co-host, Dr. Sunshine, is not here, I'm going to cast a little sunshine on the situation. Point out three things I thought were real positives from the game, and Gene, I want to get your reaction to it. Against a defense that rarely gives up much on the ground, the Jaguars ran for 112 yards. Is it an A-plus in the running game? Maybe not, but I thought the running game was pretty good yesterday in the Meadowlands.
Yeah, I'd give it an A, 4.1 average per carry, especially with our inability to throw the football. You know, I thought we did some very good things up front.
The number of time, and Maurice Jones-Drew said today there were some, you know, nine-man boxes. I mean, they were really loading up at some point against against the run and still able to run. And Maurice had one beautiful run, if you like power football, where he ran over a defensive lineman. I think it was an 11-yard gain. And, I mean, that's you love to see that kind of thing. And for a guy who is has shown he can run with power, he certainly did yesterday.
Well, he inspires his teammates. And who would not want to block hard for a guy like him? I mean, he sets the tone for offense. The way he runs with the football, he has a violence to him. He's someone, if I was blocking, I would certainly be finishing my blocks like he finishes his runs.
And then second point I thought was a real positive yesterday, I thought the defense continues to play well statistically, under 300 yards again for the second straight game, 283 yards allowed, and doing a lot of good things. Had a couple of interceptions, got decent pressure on Sanchez, although, again, they didn't have to run it, they didn't have to throw it much in the game, so there weren't as many opportunities. And I thought the front four in particular played pretty well.
They did. You know, they kept him off the spot. He was scrambling around. He was uncomfortable. We should have got him two other times. But I'll say this, 25% efficiency on third down, I mean, that's excellent by our defense to be able to get off the field. And then, you know, in terms of being able to stop the run, I mean, their feature back, he had 3.1 yards of carrying as a rushing group. They had 3.2, so you'll take that any day of the week.
Yeah, and the second straight game where the defense looked very good. And then the other was Josh Scobie, who on a 55-yard field goal, the second longest in Jaguars history, he might have started that ball, might have been 5 yards right of the right upright. And we know he's a pretty good golf player, a pretty good golfer. And the play he made on that with a power draw, I mean, looking at it from the end zone view, boy, he from long range, there aren't many better.
There's not, and he does that in practice on a regular basis. The big thing about long field goals is, you know, sometimes the kickers aren't able to get the trajectory, and he's able to do that. I mean, he's got a good lift on the ball when he hits it on the soft spot. So it was a great kick.
All right, a couple of quick questions here on the quarterback. And we'll have more as we continue on. How did Gabbert do in his brief time on the field?
I thought he did good. He showed poise. He came in on a couple touch throws, like on the screens, and he handled that well. He didn't get a chance to do a lot, but what he did, he was efficient at.
All right, and so that's the rookie getting the action out there. Of course, as always this week, we'll have the Scout's Eye unsung player. If you think you know, whether you were there, and there were some Jaguars fans there in the Meadowlands, or you watched on TV, even if you only have one instead of three or four monitors like we have here, can you tell I'm a little bit proud of our new addition? The guy who didn't necessarily make the highlight play, but who made the plays that would catch the scout's eye and deserves recognition, the winner will get a football, official NFL football, autographed by the general manager, and this week's winner, and you can tweet those in. At Culpepper, C-O-L-E-P-E-P-P-E-R is my Twitter handle, or you can put them up on the Facebook page, facebook.com/Jacksonville Jaguars. All right, more about the Jaguars and the situation that stands right now as we take time out here. Back with more Jaguars Monday with Gene Smith. Fans, nobody helps you get ready for game day better than Gate. Snacks, food, drinks, and more. Stop by Gate today. We'll also have an injury update for you when we come back right after this timeout here on Jaguars Radio.
There's the snap. Four-man pressure. Sanchez pumps, now turns and throws. He's got a man and is picked off. Rasheen Mathis has got it. His first of the season. The second of the ball game. And the Jets get him down to the 40-yard line. And Mathis comes up with a huge one.
One of two interceptions by the Jaguars defensive backs yesterday in a 32-3 loss in the Meadowlands to the Jets. Welcome back. Jaguars Monday with Gene Smith. I'm now for an injury update brought to you by Baptist Health, Jacksonville's Circle of Care. The only reported injury out of the game, Kasim Osgood, a hamstring. No word yet on how long he may be out. Jack Del Rio saying today wanted to let it calm down, cool down, before they took another look at it. But Mercedes Lewis, who has a calf, Derek Cox with ribs, should be back this week or could be back this week. Aaron Campman will not be almost certainly back this week. Perhaps with the Jags return back home, Campman will be able to get back out on the field, and that would be a big boost for sure if they could get Campman out there with a defensive line that's already playing well. All right, that is the injury update brought to you by Baptist Health, Jacksonville Circle of Care. A lot of guesses coming in so far on Twitter for the Scout's Eye unsung player. We'll announce that here at the end of this segment, so if you want to win, make sure to get in your tweet or your Facebook comment now. Thought a key play in the game was the safety. Kind of a tone setter. Anytime you get a safety early on like that, particularly right after you've scored a touchdown, I thought that really changed the tempo of the game.
It did change the tempo of the game, and, you know, it was a good play on their part. Will Rackley overset inside, and in doing so, he got narrow-based, and they were able to get the edge on him. And it was a situation where, you know, we were close to the goal line, and, you know, they got the safety. And really, when you look at the game itself, other than one other time where Luke got hit when he was in there, when he was the starter, there was one sack, and that was it for the safety.
Offensive line was a real question mark coming in to the season. At least by fans and media. So far this year, pleased with the way the offensive line has played as a general rule?
Well, I am, and obviously I'm a little biased. but I would say this, they did play well yesterday. There was some excellent times during the course of the game where we blocked them well up front in the run game, and then in the pass game, our protection for the pressure that they brought, we handled it well. So, you know, even with the four interceptions that we had, none of those were the result of the quarterback being hit. And so with the pressure scheme that they utilized, I thought we were well prepared for it.
All right. Get some comments and questions in here from Twitter and from Facebook. Have a number of tweets asking about the wide receiver position and the ability to find somebody at this point in the season who can come in and help. Can you find those guys out there after cuts have been made and after the rosters have been set?
Well, I think you can. We do a lot of work on monitoring players around the league that are available. And so whether it's practice squad, whether it's someone on the street, whether it's someone who gets cut for whatever reason, and we could put a claim in, and if we're high enough in the claim order, then certainly we'll have a chance to get that player. But there's a lot of different ways to acquire players. And like I have said before, you know, player evaluation is a continual process year-round.
Yeah, you can't just say, all right, we've looked at these guys in free agency, we've looked at them in the draft, now we've got the files on them. I mean, guys, whether they're suddenly becoming available who weren't before, guys getting cut, practice squad moves. I mean, they in the newspaper business they call it agate, right? The very small little type in the transactions and so forth. You got to be an agate reader in a lot of ways. I mean, that's not necessarily getting your fingers dirty with the newsprint, but you've got to be following all that stuff on a daily basis because moves are made every day.
You really do. And again, we try to trust the body of work we have on the player, and it starts back obviously in college and follows them throughout their NFL career. So when players become available, we already have them graded. I mean, we grade every player in the league throughout the year, and so we're current with players when they come across the waiver wire.
But you were able to add a couple of guys late here. I mean, and so this is what you're talking about. Dwight Lowry, who had the interception on opening day and played a bit yesterday, and then Matt Roth, who you got late in the process, who's had a couple of sacks here early on. So not only are you able to find guys who can be on your roster, you're finding guys who are making plays.
Well, so far, we hope that continues. I know when you talk about Lowry, he's a guy that's been a ball hawk throughout his college and NFL career to this point. So I think the more he plays for us and gets a good comfort level in our system, you know, the more productive he'll be.
All right, Gene, we'll continue as we get social with our good friends at CopyFacts. Philip wants to know, Gene, how do you beat a team with such good corners?
Well, that's a great question. I think what you do is you try to get the best matchups inside. I think you got to remove their corners from the ball, you know, by spreading them with your formations, and then take the best matchups. And if they happen to be, like I said, on the inside, that's what you want to do. So there's a number of ways to do it. That would be one that I would consider.
You were really hurt yesterday by not having Mercedes Lewis available. I mean, talk about a guy who could make a difference in the middle of the field.
Yeah, it would have helped Luke for sure to have him. The nice thing is Zach Potter probably blocked as well as he's ever blocked. That's a team that he did play for before he converted to tight end with us. And it was nice to have Zach Miller back. You know, he had three catches. But when you take an all-pro player out of your offense, and certainly Jason Hill didn't play either, you know, those are things you got to contend with throughout the year, every team in this league, because you're going to have some injuries and somebody else has to step up, and, you know, you have to find ways to win.
All right. We will have more comments about yesterday's game, but right now it is time to announce the Scout's Eye Unsung Player. There's the Scout's Eye from high above taking a look at things. We've had a number of submissions, guesses on Twitter and on Facebook. And, all right, Gene, who was our Scout's Eye Unsung Player from yesterday's ballgame?
Eugene Monroe.
All right, so offensive line getting it again.
This was one of his better performances, I think, since he's been here as a run blocker and certainly as a pass blocker. More discipline with his sets. I thought he anchored better in his pass set. And then, like I said, in the run game, whether he was pulling, whether he was working at the point of attack, or he was working second level to try to get up on a linebacker, I thought this was a complete game for Eugene and played the way he is certainly capable of playing, I think, every week in the NFL.
You've actually been very complimentary of the tackle play so far this year. Guy Wimper last week, you said played well. Did you play well again yesterday?
He did. The one thing about Guy where he's really improved is in the run blocking. He is finishing guys off now. Not that he wasn't a good run blocker before. It's a little different dynamic from the left side to the right side. The right side, you get more power players, guys who can play with more strength at the point. And he's learned to play with a better base, to play with better leverage, and to run his feet on contact. And the one thing I would say about him, too, is he worked against a good group of defensive linemen when he was up there with the Giants, where he started his career, every day in practice. So I think that's assisted his cause here.
You know, it's interesting, too, that on a game where the offense doesn't get in the end zone, it'd be very easy. And the majority of our guesses here from listeners on the Scout's Eye were defensive players. And you think, hey, it's got to be somebody on the defense. But it kind of goes to show you that you can have one or two or three outstanding individual performances, but the whole unit's got to do something, you know, it has to do it right together in order to get it in the end zone.
No question. And this is, again, the unsung performance. And it's probably one that you have to study to see it. Although the left tackle is a little bit more high profile and it's the open side of the offense, so you can see his mistakes. They're a little bit more glaring. But he played a clean game overall yesterday, and I'm proud of the step he has taken from week one to week two in his improvement.
All right, we will talk a little bit more about yesterday's ball game, the quarterback situation. Plus, still to come, the Gene Pool. We'll take a look at the defensive tackles and see how that position is graded out and how, and what really goes into making and finding a great defensive tackle. Of course, we've got a guy right across the desk here who has drafted a couple of them very high here over the last couple of years. So Gene Smith will have his thoughts on the defensive tackle position when we come back. This is Jaguars Monday with Gene Smith. Fans, remember to text BBQ to 72239 and enter for a chance to win the Sunday's Game Ball Delivery Contest. You can hand the game ball to the ref at the start of the next Jaguars home game. Back after this timeout, right here on Jaguars Radio.
Here's play action. Back to throw. All kinds of time. There's a toss, and it's intercepted. William Middleton's got it with blockers. He's at the 40. Tries to go back inside. Stays on his feet, and is finally knocked out of bounds by Sean Green at the 49-yard line. Big-time play by William Middleton coming to step back in front of the receiver.
Good to see William Middleton stepping in for the injured Derek Cox, getting the start and getting the interception for the Jaguars yesterday. Reminder to become part of the Jaguars Advantage, the new Jaguars fan loyalty program. With Jaguars Advantage, season ticket owners can earn up to 15% cash back at hundreds of their favorite online retailers. For more information, go to jaguarsadvantage.com. Maybe you could earn enough to get three TVs in your den and have a little Jaguars Central of your own. All right, Jaguars Money with Gene Smith continues. We're going to talk more about the quarterback situation in just a moment, but right now it's time for us to jump into the gene pool as we examine some positions every week and what it's all about, what the scouts look for out of these positions. This week it's the defensive tackle position. Gene, you've drafted Tyson Alualu. You drafted Terrence Knighton. Drafted De'Anthony Smith. Spent some draft picks on the defensive tackle position. My numbers here, average weight for defensive tackle, 6'2", 295 with a 4.95 in the 40. Probably the 40, there may not be another position that the 40 matters less than the defensive tackle, but that's what we have.
Well, you still want to have short area quickness. And coming out of the combine last year was 6.024, 3.06, and 5.1. For a pro starter, the average was a year ago 6.3, 3.05, and basically 5 flat. So you don't have guys who are like John Henderson and Marcus Stroud really in the NFL today. It's more guys who can bend, can play with leverage, and like I said, have maybe an explosive first step, the short area quickness to really get on the edge of the block.
And so the ideal size is smaller than, not as tall, but powerful.
Yeah, like Gary Walker. Mm-hmm. When he was here, he was right in that size. And I would say this, so is Tyson. And, you know, he was 6023, 300, and ran 488, which is rare, 33-inch arms, a 10-inch hand, and a 35.5 vertical jump. Now, with defensive linemen, you'd like to have them.
Did you say that Tyson Alualu at 300 pounds is a 35-inch vertical?
That's correct.
Wow. I mean, that's basketball player vertical.
And so did De'Anthony Smith. Mm. And when you get guys that are 300 pounds going over 35 in the vertical, that's rare. But the arm length with these defensive linemen, you know, you want 32 to 34. Sometimes you'll get an end that may have 35. And just like with offensive linemen, you know, when the game changed to where you could use your hands, you have to be able to steer and control and then shed the blocker as a defensive lineman. And certainly it helps, too, to get your hand in the throwing lanes. But the one guy that might be the best in the NFL without question right now. Some may say the guy in Baltimore is a little bit better or equal to, but I would give the edge to
Ndamukong Suh. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, him.
I'll just call him Sue. 6037, 307 when he came out, 5 flat, and 33.5 arm, 10.25 hand. And he vertical, believe it or not, 35.5. So he's a little bit bigger than Tyson, but some of their numbers are very similar. And he is just a dominant force up there in Detroit for him.
You can put him in the conversation in just his second year when you start talking about best defensive players in the game right now. I mean, looking at what he did, I watched a few highlights. He's in almost every highlight, whether it's, I mean, he's back there creating havoc just like he was in college, and he's one of those rare guys who has done just about exactly in the pros what he did in college seemingly didn't miss a beat.
No question. It shouldn't be Ndamukong Suh. It should be Indominant Suh, because he has the ability to force you to double-team him almost every snap. I think sometimes people try to get three players on him, but he's, like I said, a wrecking force inside.
Reminds me of that line from Blazing Saddles, oh, don't do that, you'll just make him mad if you triple team him. You know, I mean, he's, when he gets going. So is he the best defensive tackle? You said he and Haloti Ngata are the two best defensive tackles in the game right now?
I would say so, because they're so disruptive. And they both have the ability to bend for big guys. and they both have good motors. Sometimes you'll see a defensive lineman in college that doesn't play hard every single snap. A lot of those guys are playing 70 snaps. Mm-hmm. In the NFL, between the TV timeouts, the two-minute warning, the wave rotation, and the situational defenses, you know, a lot of these guys are playing 50 snaps. They can certainly play 50 snaps at a high level. And
unless they get gassed like Vince Wilfork did yesterday returning an interception.
Well, that's true. These particular players are more three techniques.
Yeah, he's more of a nose.
He's more of a nose. Yeah. So.
And we'll talk about nose tackles next week. All right, so that's the gene pool for this week, looking at the defensive tackle position. I saw a defensive lineman, by the way. I'll ask you about in the break in one of the college games I watched over the weekend. I want to ask you about. I want to see if I'm seeing something that some of the scouts may be seeing as well. Speaking of defensive tackles, and we'll get to the quarterback here in a moment, Tyson Alualu lined up outside a little bit and got good pressure. You scouted him. He basically played a defensive end position in a 3-4 at Cal, did he not, his junior year?
Well, he played it his senior year.
Senior year.
Actually. And what some of the teams are trying to do now, if the offensive tackle doesn't anchor real well, they'll put a bigger body out there mm-hmm. and just run that guy back in the quarterback. And he's certainly able to do that. Matt Roth did that a couple times against their right tackle. So, you know, I think what we're trying to do with our personnel is try to play to their strengths, matching up maybe a weakness on the opponent's offensive line.
Boy, if you want a lesson in how to use a stiff arm as a defensive player, Tyson threw one in there on one of those rushes. It just looked like a steel bar pushing the guy back, an impressive play. All right, some more questions about the quarterback. One of the things that certainly is going to have to come into play when making a decision is the kind of decisions they made in Carolina, in Cincinnati. They're going to have to wrestle with this at Tennessee. Anytime you have a rookie quarterback, particularly a high draft pick quarterback, are there risks for a rookie quarterback for putting him in a game if he gets overwhelmed? Is there a long-term risk for that, or can you put a guy in there and just let him go?
Well, I think it depends on your supporting cast. If you feel like you have a viable supporting cast where you can bring a guy in and develop him, you know, with on-the-job training, that's the way to go. I mean, I really believe there's no downside to gaining experience at the most difficult position to play in sports.
All right, so what is it that a quarterback needs to know to start in the NFL? I mean, you don't expect him to know the entire playbook coming in as a rookie. Even guys who are veterans don't necessarily know the entire playbook. It's install what you install for the week. But what do you want them to know? You know, what do they have to understand in order to be a successful starter?
Well, beyond knowing your offense, certainly the opposing defense. They have so much more time to prepare at the NFL level, and so they can become very exotic with their pressure schemes. And they disguise things so well. So for a quarterback, he's got to know the front, the coverage, and the pressure scheme. And then beyond that, I would say at this level, it's matchups. Really studying the best matchups where you can win most effectively, because this is a matchup league.
Considering the relative, we'll call it a limited responsibility that has been put on the quarterback so far here, when you have a strong running game, does it matter who's back there?
Well, I think you got to look at our football team, and I think if you say, okay, what are our strengths? Well, one of them would be running the ball for sure, mm-hmm. With probably the best blocking tight end in the NFL, arguably the best blocking fullback, an all-pro running back. I think an offensive line that has shown they can run block well. And we're still trying to get established on the outside at the receiver position. So I don't think there's any mystery here. Regardless of who plays, as we sit here today playing to our strength, our right hand is running the football and play action off of it.
Yeah, and should continue to be when you've got those kind of outstanding players in that part of the game. All right, we'll take time out, our final break of the evening. When we come back, quick look around the AFC South and turn our attention to the Carolina Panthers and their rookie quarterback, Cam Newton, who's put up some big-time numbers through the first 2 weeks. Back with more Jaguars Monday with Gene Smith right after this timeout here on Jaguars Radio.
And Sanchez looks at one deep safety in the middle of the field, drops back to throw, has some time in the pocket, it's going to get hit, caught, sacked for a 1-yard loss.
That was Matt Roth's sack. Second of the season, second in as many games for the recently acquired defensive end. Welcome back, Jaguars Monday with Gene Smith. Coming off the loss in the Meadowlands, we'll start to look forward to next week's game, Sunday's contest in Charlotte. Resetting the AFC South, the Colts 0-2 now after losing to Cleveland 27-19. The Titans are 1-1. They beat Baltimore 26-13. Talk about a turnaround from 1 week to the next. Matt Hasselbeck threw for over 300 yards. Kenny Britt, another big game. He's having a very good start to the season, but just goes to show you, and this is one of the things that I had pointed out before the game Sunday. You can't just look at one game and decide you know what's going to happen the rest of the year. And you really can't just look at two. It's tough to get too much of a trend, although we all will, and start saying, you know, we're all crowning Detroit as the great, you know, and you can look at Tom Brady and say, yeah, I think he's probably going to be pretty good, and that's probably a pretty safe bet as he's thrown for over 900 yards. Texans now 2-0 after beating Miami 23-13. Any team around the league that has caught your eye specifically or surprised you with what they've done the first couple of weeks?
Well, surprise would be Buffalo.
Yeah.
And then obviously the team that looks like a machine right now that's well-oiled is New England.
Yeah, which is not a huge surprise probably to anybody, just the number of yards that are being piled up. Speaking of big yards, Cam Newton has put up over 400 yards each of his first two games. There were a lot of folks coming into the year when coming out of the draft, for people thought, well, how much of a risk is he? Number one, is he? Boy, there is no doubt though. Physically, the tools he has, he is big and strong and can throw it around.
Well, I think that's accurate. You know, even in the preseason, he had some trying times, but he has put it together the first 2 weeks. I mean, here's a guy, like you said, he's thrown the ball for 854 yards. He's actually their leading rusher right now. I mean, he's got a live arm, and he's a guy that can create with his feet, so he can certainly extend plays, and he's come out of the gate hot.
And you look at some of the numbers, he has been sacked 8 times. That's not completely unusual for a young quarterback or for a quarterback who wants to move around and extend plays. But you mentioned he's a leading rusher. He's run it 18 times. So that's 9 times a game in the first two. It's not exactly Michael Vick as a rookie, you know, running it every time. He is, from the numbers, it looks like he's just extending plays for the most part and maybe get a run in here and there.
That's correct.
And so 2 touchdown runs and the big passing yardage for the year, 854, as Gene mentioned. The number for a rookie quarterback, the two numbers that I tend to look at the most are completion percentage and yards per attempt. And 62% in the first 2 weeks, pretty good. And yards per attempt, he's averaging 10.3, which is phenomenal for a rookie in the first 2 weeks. So he's throwing the ball down. It's not just checkdowns. He's throwing the ball down the field.
He is, and the thing I would say going into this game is, you know, our linebackers and secondary will be tested. Obviously, Steve Smith is one of the better playmakers in the NFL. He's a guy that played in 3 All-Star games, was MVP of all 3 when he came out. And he's averaging 24 yards a catch with 2 touchdowns. And you look at their 2 tight ends, Shockey and Olsen. Both of those guys can be playmakers in the passing game. Shockey was 17.8 and Olsen with 22.4 average per catch. So
that's a lot for a receiver, much less a tight end.
No question. So they have 3 players there that have ability to make big-time plays and to create mismatches. And then when you throw Cam's ability to throw the ball and to pressure your defense with his feet, not just his arm, I mean, that's going to be a tremendous, you know, offensive skill set to defend, and so it'll be a great challenge for our defense.
We had the Carolina Green Bay game on one of the TVs here in the array as we were following the Jaguars game yesterday, and early on, boy, he looked like he was just dead on and razor sharp. Then a couple of turnovers, the interception. Woodson got him a couple of times, and so you look at 3 touchdowns and the 4 interceptions this year. There are some numbers here that I guess at first blush you would say are kind of puzzling when you see the combination, but then you realize, okay, rookie, 0-2 team, they've had some injuries. They've lost a couple of linebackers now for extended periods of time. This is a team still trying to find themselves, clearly. I mean, when you have the number one pick in the draft, it's going to take you a little while to settle in to really find out who you are, and especially when you have a new coaching staff.
No question. And here's a case where they have two quality running backs, mm-hmm. and they have been able to run the ball in the past. And for whatever reason, they're struggling right now. And so I feel like they're still trying to, you know, develop a sense of who they are, like you said, Cole. And this is a team that I think over the course of time, if they're able to stay healthy, at least on offense, will continue to do good things.
All right, so every week we look at some of the key matchups to watch in the game coming up. And so for Sunday, what do you see as the key matchups in this game?
Well, like I just mentioned, I really believe it's going to be our ability on defense to throttle down Steve Smith, because he's a guy who does get explosive plays. And then, you know, they're two tight ends in the passing game. We got to match up well with our linebackers and our secondary to contain them. I would think in offense, we got to be able to come out and run the ball, and that will enable us to throw the ball better down the field, because your protection's always better if you can run the ball.
You've talked a number of times about how your goal is to see this team have the number one special teams unit, you know, total unit in the game this year. You think that the ability is there to do that, the personnel, and that can happen. I know you can't be all that pleased with a couple of things that happened on special teams yesterday. Coverage in particular, there was a field position problem that came out of that. What do you look for now going to Carolina? Do they stress the coverage teams as much as the Jets do with Cromartie and some of the other guys that they put back there?
Well, I think every team in the league does have good athletes on special teams. We got handled yesterday. We are much better than how we performed. It was unfortunate that we lost Kasim Osgood to the hamstring in the third quarter. Will Middleton, who's an outstanding special team player, who had to start, obviously we didn't do some of the things just across the board that we should have done better. I don't want to get into all the details, but we have some guys who could have played more, so I don't want to make any excuses. They outplayed us. I mean, bottom line.
Well, and the Jaguars will look to turn things around, and we'll find out who will be under center. We still don't know. The decision has not yet been made. If you're just joining us now, it will not be Joe Fortunato. We know that, despite Joe's volunteering for the position. All right, that'll do it. Gene, thanks a lot. We appreciate it. We'll talk to you next week.
Thank you, Cole. Thanks, Joe.
That's the general manager, Gene Smith. Tomorrow night, the Jack Del Rio Show. Brian Sexton has the head coach at 6 o'clock. Then on Wednesday, Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna. Brian, along with Jeff Loggeman and John Osher. And then remember, on Sunday, we'll have the Jaguars and the Panthers. 1 o'clock kickoff, the Sunday's Real Pit Barbecue Tailgate Show gets things started at 10 o'clock. And we'll see if the Jaguars can bounce back from the loss to the New York Jets. So for the general manager, Gene Smith, for Joe Fortunato, Cole Pepper saying thanks for listening to Jaguars Monday with Gene Smith. And good night from Jaguar Central.
WOK.